Well, hello everyone, and thanks again for joining us for another Basic Conversation. And Father Basic, it's always good to be with you. And of course, we have Michael Herner from WGTE, who is here being our ace audio production czar, and he's keeping us focused and guided.
Yeah, he's doing a good job, Brad.
We appreciate Michael and the good people here at WGTE.
WGTE, yeah, for sure.
Good people. So we're going to continue in the season six exploration on Pope Leo the 14th. And today we're going to talk about Pope Leo and peace and war.
Sounds good to me.
A weighty topic.
Yeah.
It seems like a good way to enter into this conversation is focusing on, or at least starting on, Pope Leo's message for World Peace Day 2026. Does that sound like a good way to enter into this?
The material in that talk, I think, I don't want to just center on that. I want to draw many of his statements since he became Pope on peace.
Okay.
And not just confined to that, but that's one of them, anniversary of World Peace Day, wonderful talk he gave, worth pondering for sure. I want to keep it not focused on just that, but on his message.
Sure.
And I got my own ideas of where this is going, whatever you say.
I'm with you.
So I want to start out by what he sees as the problem in the world today. And he calls it a confrontational logic. Confrontational logic. And by that, he means that world affairs are governed more by power and strength. A good example of a confrontationist attitude is what we call MAD, mutual assured destruction, which is based on the idea that the nuclear powers would have overwhelming power and they're neither the one's going to attack the other because they would get obliterated. And in that case, I mean, people could argue it's worked. I mean, we haven't had a nuclear confrontation since we bombed Hiroshima and Nagasaki, but since then. So you could argue, well, it's worked in that way. But Leo says that's no way to go about it. Can't do that. It's destructive. So he says, instead of this MAD, mutual assured destruction, so on, what we want to do is get international relationships that are mutual, that are dialogic, where we prefer discussion over threats. He's upset with the language that's used. There's too much aggressive language that's used. And so he has been, you know, just forthright in talking about he wants peace in Ukraine. So he's immediately called upon that. Stop the Russian-Ukraine conflict. You know, he wants to stop the war in the Middle East. He's repeated the phrase of Pope Francis, who said, today, in today's world, in this confrontational logic, we're fighting World War III piecemeal. That was a famous statement that Francis, the predecessor to Leo, said. And Leo has made that his own. We're fighting World War III piecemeal. So he's concerned about wars in Africa, regional conflicts and so on. So he's sort of been a constant call, message, to be a peacemaker. You could say that's been his major theme of his since he became Pope. Now, instead of a confrontational kind of logic, he proposes, I haven't found the right word for it, but he doesn't have his own word, but it's a Christian moral approach. It's a dialogic approach. It's a different logic. And so he has said that we want to talk rather than fight. And he starts out with the story of Jesus. So he speaks as a moral voice, and he starts out, Jesus said, blessed be the peacemakers. And Jesus said, peace be with you. So the background of that biblically is that Jesus was betrayed by his own followers. They were cowardly. They ran away. And when he meets him after his resurrection, the first thing he doesn't say, where were you when I needed you? No, how come you ran away? He says, peace be with you. So he stops the cycle of violence. He's not going to be violent in return. Peace be with you. And what Leo has a strong sense that Christ's peace is real. It's active. It's in the world. We have peace. It's a reality. So when he's talking about peace and war, this one thing I like about him is that he's concrete. You know, peace is not an abstraction for him. It's a state of condition of the world where we prefer dialogue to fighting and war. So that Christ is the peacemaker. And so a lot of his talks start with that. And for him, again, that's a reality. It's a concrete. He says that it exists in the hearts of people who have accepted Christ's peace. So to accept, to be a Christian, to be accept the peace of Christ means we should be peacemakers ourselves. One of the things I note that he often talks about is he quotes Augustine as an Augustinian friar. I'm amazed at how often he quotes St. Augustine in his talks. So Augustine said, if you want to help make other peoples be peacemakers, you want to get more peace in the world, then be steadfast in being a peacemaker yourself. That's your job. So that's Leo's. You don't like how the world is. You don't like confrontation and so on. Piecemeal wars. We be a peacemaker yourself. Be steadfast. I like that. Be steadfast. So he's speaking to us. I mean, you can think of this whole thing as, what's Leo saying to the average person listening to this podcast? So as Christians, we be, Christ has brought peace into the world. So, and then many things follow from that for Leo. That means that let's get to the conflict with President Trump. Okay, that's what's made a lot of the headlines about this. They've had a conflict and so on. Now, President Trump has said, if I wasn't in the White House, Leo wouldn't be in the Vatican. How about that? That's been repeated. Right. If I wasn't the president, he thinks he made the possibility for Leo to become the Pope. If I wasn't in the White House, he wouldn't be in the Vatican. But then he started attacking Leo openly and so on. And his great claim was that Pope Leo is weak on nuclear weapons. He wants Iran to have a nuclear weapon. And so that became the point of where President Trump has said, I like his brother a lot better. He's a MAGA man. So we remember we were locating Leo in Chicago, right, from Chicago area. And his brother has been known to support some MAGA policy. So Trump says, I like his brother better than him. He's weak on nuclear stuff. And so where does that go then? Leo has said, I'm not afraid of him. I'm not afraid of Trump. I'm not afraid of his administration. My job is to preach the gospel. And that's what I'm going to do. It's not a political statement, as Trump thinks it is. It's a moral statement. It's about what God calls us to, what Jesus calls us to. So I am not afraid. I'm going to preach the gospel message. That's my job. I'm not in political conflict with anybody, but I'm going to do my job. So is that, you got any question about that thing with Trump? I mean,
I think he also said afterwards that he's not in a fight with Trump, but because of his moral perspective on this, he's going to speak his mind. It's not personal to him. It's just he's talking to all political leaders.
Yeah. Oh, that's well said, yeah. Anything else about what I said so far strike you or you following?
I'm with you, yes.
Okay. I don't know if we've exhausted that enough or not. He does have a whole thing of what we should do then. So he wants us to be active peacemakers. He's calling for us to do our part. And for one thing, he wants us to uphold international treaties. So he's very... that would be NATO. A lot of times he uses general terms, but we interpret it when he's talking about policies and so on. He doesn't like the idea of us not supporting NATO.
Yeah. He's also very big on discussion first, listening, and then also when you hit loggerhead, mediation instead of bombs.
Yeah.
And upholding international law.
Yeah, good stuff, right? I mean, and we hear it in terms of our situation in the United States. So he wants us to be supportive of NATO. It's been an international relationship that's worked for years, and we've supported one another. And the clause, if one is attacked, the others are attacked, has probably been helpful in avoiding conflicts, so on.
Does the political aspect make, just based on some of the history of the church, like World War II,
yeah,
and the church is looking maybe the other way?
Yeah.
During the, I mean, so there's some moral authority lapses.
Yeah.
Throughout the centuries of the church,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, and go back to the Constantine era when the church got aligned with the state, and it's always been one of the charges against the Russian Orthodox Church that it just simply supports what the government there says, and that's been a charge made against them, and that's always a danger for sure.
And the other eroding aspect, obviously, is the whole sexual abuse piece, the idea of don't be a moral authority if you can't take care of your own house, right?
Yeah.
That gets thrown at all the popes over the last couple of years.
It does, and that'll be one of the tests for his own papacy. Of can he do something constructive about the sexual abuse thing so that we maintain moral authority? So for Leo... God is a God who wants peace. God wills the salvation of all people. And salvation means wholeness. It means to live in peace and harmony. It means to live in a world where those people are assisting one another, helping one another, and where people come together to promote harmony and peace and the well-being of everybody. So in a sense, Leo's message, I think Leo is... You know, keep thinking we need a great spokesperson for moral authority, and his way of speaking, I think, helps. He's measured. He's careful. You know, even in his conflicts with Trump, he doesn't get mad or upset so much. He's a steady thing. Peace. We got to have peace in the world.
And in the theme of the World Peace Day, peace be with you all towards an unarmed and disarming peace.
Yeah.
Unarmed and disarming peace, those are high standards, aren't they?
Yeah, that is really interesting language. He does that a lot. Unarmed peace, yeah, unarmed. It's a different use of language. His predecessor never talked that way. But that use of the word unarmed, he wants a world that's unarmed, you know, that's not in confrontational mode all the time.
And he uses Jesus as the ultimate unarmed.
Yeah, put away the sword, yeah. He goes back to that a lot, you know. You take up the sword, you're going to perish by the sword. Jesus was not taught us to be nonviolent. Jesus taught us to be, blessed are the peacemakers. So that's what I think of as sort of his positive message. And that would mean he would want us to form coalitions, groups. Remember, he's a great community builder. To be an Augustinian is to want community. It's the Augustinians are big on doing things together, being friends. Friends are more powerful. And that comes out in his talking about being peacemakers. He wants us to form coalitions with other small groups that work for peace, and that it spreads outward then. And again, in our world, where we're dealing with so much isolation and so much personal things that are unconnected with others, bowling alone and all of that, it's a powerful message. So people listen to this podcast, form some associations, you know, maybe befriend a person, another person who's into peacemaking, and work together. Support candidates who are willing to work across the aisle. So there's that practical sense. He doesn't want us to mess up NATO. International relationships, it's worked. It's the kind of thing that he likes, and he wants us to keep working at that.
One of the doctrines that have come up, because Pope Leo's been so vocal and challenging about using the peace approach, is the just war theory.
Yeah. I'm glad you got that in there, and we have to save time as we go along.
Because we could speak a long time
about that. Yes, that's part of what has happened in this whole discussion. He has said on occasion that the just war theory was developed by St. Augustine and by St. Thomas Aquinas through the Middle Ages, in which they worked out a whole system and way of approaching questions of war. It was designed to stop wars, to get people to think about it. And there were criteria. So the just war tradition said that, well, to start even a defensive war, only if there's no other possibility. They call it the last resort. You know? You can have a defensive war only if you protect non-combatants. You can have a defensive war only if there's a possibility of success. You can have a defensive war only if the good done will outweigh the obvious evil that's going to happen. You can have a defensive war only if it's authorized by proper authority. So those are the classic just war criteria that are called into play.
Proportionality is also in there.
Say?
Proportionality.
Yes.
Sounds.
Yeah, that would be what my way of saying it was, more good would accomplish than bad. So one of the statements Pope Leo made was that the just war theory is no longer applicable. Aquinas and Augustine didn't know about atomic weapons. Now that we got nuclear weapons, the ball game has changed. And it's so much damage to be done, it's hard to imagine it ever actually being possibly of success. And also, Leo, so I have a friend, Tobias Wainwright is his name. He's in Ireland. He teaches at the St. Patrick's Pontifical College in Maynooth. and I'm in correspondence with him, and he's the great proponent of the just war tradition, which I happen to support myself. And so when it would come to me and say, Leo's done away with the just war tradition, I want to find a way to say, no, that's not true. And so Tobias Wainwright has written an amazing article showing that indeed even Leo invokes just war tradition in ways. Those criteria that I suggested, you got sort of got those in mind, no, last resort and so on. That he, Tobias Wainwright argues brilliantly, I think, that Leo actually embraces it or uses it. So think of it this way, as a practical Christian saying, I'm in favor of peace. You can say, well, all wars are wrong. Therefore, it was wrong to have war against Iran. It's wrong to have war. One of the great proponents of Protestant said that when Leo made the statement that you can't imagine any just war possibilities, that surprised Catholics all just became pacifists. Suddenly, all Catholics are pacifists. Well, I don't think that's true. And so I'm going to have an argument with somebody who says that they favored the war, the attack on Iran. Well, I can say, well, no, that's wrong. It's against what Jesus said. Or I can say, well, did he ever get permission from Congress to do it? Was there another option rather than bombing all those people? Is there really any possibility of a solution with an Iranian regime that has a philosophy or ideology of a final conflict between the good people and the bad people? So, in other words, you could argue, you could talk, say, well, he didn't have to go to Congress because of one way or another.
I think he, Pope Leo also cautioned or condemned when nations use religion as a God's with us.
Yeah.
So that's where we're going to war. There's some self-righteousness.
Yeah. Christian nationalism, we're always right, and so on, yeah.
And it could be Muslim, the ideology from Iran, right?
Right, yeah. It's a broad attack. It's that Leo uses, and I want to keep alive the just war tradition with Tobias Wainwright, for sure. But I want to also be active. One of the great dangers in my mind right now is complicity in evil, doing nothing. You know, just say, well, that's the way it is. One of the things that Leo keeps saying is, we have to have hope. His predecessor Francis says, to lose hope is suicidal. Suicidal to lose hope. So he's got all this stuff about maintaining hope, which is so vital. I mean, that's one of my own points constantly in talking to people is, if you give up hope right now, you're going to be passive, do nothing, sit back and enjoy watching ball games and forget. And Leo says there's a proper ordering in the world. The political people have a calling, and we have a chance to vote for them, so on. So I'm very big on him. He wants to invite us, be a peacemaker. Join me in being a peacemaker. Don't give in to Pope John the 23rd, always talk about the prophets of doom. And Leo says, we gotta be wary of people who are prophets of doom, who say there's nothing you can do. Trump is gonna wage war whenever he wants. You can't do anything about it. And Leo won't let us do that, won't let us off the hook. We have to stay in the ball game. We have to do our part. How much time we got left?
Plenty.
Huh?
Plenty.
Well, we could go off in a lot of different directions, but why don't we come back and say, what did we get out of this?
Sure.
You know, so we want Jesus says, peace be with you. And that's a reality. I mean, I'm having a hard time explaining it exactly. Pope Leo came to, you know, peace is not a thought. Peace is not a philosophy or something. Peace is an actual thing. People who have accepted the peace of Christ live in this world. I mean, he talks about people, ordinary people, who in difficult times maintain hope in peace. So peace is a reality. It exists. And
I think the term you've used over the years is hopeful realism.
Yeah.
Is there an application of that?
Yeah, I could easily make it for the next half hour.
Yes.
Yeah, hopeful realism. Yeah, it has been my dialectical virtue, and it does fit in. It's probably one reason why I like the just war tradition. There's the proportionality, there's the realization. I mean, evil's real in the world. We got a tough situation, you know. We got a conflict. It's hard to, how do we resolve Ukraine, Russia? How do we resolve Gaza? How do we do anything with Iran? I mean, all the talk of making a deal with Iran is so complicated and so on. And in the midst of it, what we want to do as Christians say, we refuse to give in to say there's nothing that can be done. We refuse to be silent. We will do all we can to promote peace, pray for peace. So there's the quote from Isaiah that I'm not remembering. You know the quote I'm talking about? It's Isaiah.
I do not know the quote.
Boo. Because the time will come when people will beat their swords into plowshares. Oh, that the time will come when peace will reign. And so that's our message of hope.
Seems like we should end on a hopeful note.
Yeah, let's highlight that. So as we think about the whole, what's Leo telling us, he's saying, hang in there. Do your part, form coalitions, meet with friends, support NATO, and pray together that God will give us this gift of peace and help us to latch on to what Christ has already given us, who said to the apostles, peace be with you.
Thank you, Father Basin.